to solutions, or are they staying a half a step ahead of us?
I tell you, if you can, it would be excellent if you could please play the video and do a voiceover. Just read the text out loud for the listeners while it's playing, because.
Okay, I don't understand how that would work. We can't do that, by the way. This is just recording through Skype. So there's no way I can put anything sort of simultaneously on this recording. Later I could possibly try to edit something, but I don't have a setup really to be like pulling stuff and embedding
No,
it or whatever.
but Kevin, if you otherwise than that, I mean, the text is almost like in one flow. If you just say, "I'm gonna play a video," and then you just speak out the words that it says to describe what the video is doing. Just, I mean, it's a one sentence long, just ongoing thing, but it describes. I think we're spot on one of the main players in this whole thing, because nowadays they're presenting new possibilities of coordinating multiple attacks at the same time, and how they do it with the Twitter feeds, the Facebook feeds, social media, ambulances, fire brigade, police, military, all of it coordinated through companies like this.
Yeah, I see the text. I've went to the website. I see the text, and I looked at the beginning of that
But
video. But I don't
otherwise I can
understand.
do it.
Oh yeah. Well, if you can do it, and the sound is good, it's important to have. I found is any time that I try to play around with sound, like instance, if somebody on the other end plays something, like if you were to try to play a video or if you turn on a radio or something at where you are, the sound quality on what
Yeah,
recording is very
the thing
poor.
is, this is only sort of like a music thing in the background. If I,
Oh,
yep,
it's just me. It's
it's only
music.
mute. This is the music. I don't, can you hear this music?
My music.
Can you hear that?
No.
But the music is
Nothing at
not
all, just your
needed.
voice.
It's just a background noise, more or less. So I can just do sort of like the voiceover, say
Well,
exactly what it
if yeah,
says in the
basically.
video, because I tell you, this is quite scary, and at the same time, I think.
Well, can't we, why don't we just let's just link the vi let's just link the video, and listeners can watch and listen to the video themselves. And, I can post text and I can link videos and send people. And then we can mention that, and people can go and listen and look for themselves.
I would prefer if I can do it like this, because it explains in such a an amazing way exactly what is happening. But would it?
Okay, so are you going? You're planning to read text, or you're planning to try to repeat the words of
No,
somebody
it's
speaking in a
read
video?
text. I mean, there's no voice at all. It's just the text is there. Doom, 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 doom.
I guess that'll work. I mean, I'm a little skeptical in that the effect of somebody like you in this case reading a text that's coming, being, that's in a video, is nothing like the actual the text in the video. It's sort of like and reading aloud is not good radio either. It's not it sounds you know is I'm sure anybody who reads a speech gives a lousy speech. So anyway, I'm just a little skeptical at how this makes
Listen,
good radio.
if it's like 2 minutes, we do it. If it's crap, you can
Okay.
just delete it. If it's good, leave it, okay?
Sounds good. And so do we start with that, or I think with a general discussion
It's
of just framing it with a Stockholm attacks and stuff might be good. And then we
yep,
can move
for
to this
sure.
when you're ready for it. Okay. So just a moment. Welcome, Truth Jihad Radio. I'm Kevin Barrett, waging the all-out struggle for truth here on the internet airwaves. There are several guests that I rely on to keep me updated about some of the issues that we talk about on this show, and regarding the issue of false flag terror, including follow-up attacks to 9/11 designed to keep the pot boiling and keep the Islamophobia flowing. One of my best regular sources is Ole Damgaard. He's from Sweden, currently elsewhere in Europe, but he knows enough about Sweden. An expert on the background to the recent Stockholm truck attack. So that's where we're going to start. Welcome, Ole Damgaard, and thank you for all
Thank
your
you so
great
much,
work.
Kevin. It's a true pleasure and honor.
So the Stockholm attack looked dicey to me. Trump had given a speech, what, a month or something earlier, talking about the, you know, the as the recent attack in Sweden shows, there hadn't been any recent attack in Sweden, and all the shaking their heads saying, "What is this guy talking about?" And then, not too long after that, there was a big attack in Stockholm. This is almost as if Trump were psychic. But of course, these attacks always come with interesting aspects that lead us to wonder about them. And let's start with that, Ole. You know, in something like at this point, we've seen this pattern so often that it's very difficult to look at it without, you know, looking for suspicious
I
aspects,
think that
isn't it?
is very important that we look with suspicious eyes because I just want to point out I've spent some 30 odd years in this area trying to learn as much and try to expose as much of what is going on. And one of the things that I believe that I've been able to supply is the understanding that these attacks are not separated, but they're actually coordinated. And this has made it possible for me to predict. I'm up to four now that I publicly predicted like one month before they happened. The latest one was me and Trump. Me and Trump. No, but the latest one was the London attack that I predicted. I went out on international radio on the 21st of February saying the next target, if I'm correct, will be the Big Ben. And then on the 22nd of March, boom, it happened exactly on that location. And
And we did talk about that on a previous
and
show.
so the whole thing is like how is it possible to predict these things? The way to predict them is because they hide clues about the upcoming events due to their way of interpret the law of karma. They believe that if they in subtle ways shows us what they're going to do and we do not react, then the bad karma is on our shoulders. So this is a massive blessing in disguise because then it's just for us to find the clues in the evidence and then possibly stop the upcoming ones. And in the London terror attack on the 22nd of March, there were very strong signs about the next upcoming ones. And I went out and publicly predicted Copenhagen on April the 9th. Big time. It was so big that I had about, I think, around 1,500 people in Denmark helping me, sort of with almost like a commando center I had here at home. Because.
Yes, emergency command center for the anti-false flag, anti-terror
Exactly, because
squads.
I pointed out the exact location where I think it was going to happen. It was. As far as I was able to interpret the clues, it was going to be a combined gas and explosive attack very close to the entrance of Tivoli at a tower called the Axel Towers, very, very central in Copenhagen. And it would happen on the 9th of April, which is an extremely important date in Danish history because that is the date when the German army invaded Denmark in 1940. And so on. So very symbolic date. And I had many, many people in Copenhagen. They were on location with cameras, giving reports of everything from when they started closing down the streets, when they changed the bus routes away from the main train station, all of these things. So everything was set, I feel, for this attack. But then, boom.
And we talked about this in advance.
Yeah. This
Remember
is the
that
thing.
we yeah,
So there
and
was some
help
major
publicize it.
coverage, sort of on Facebook and everybody, where people were predicting and waiting for it almost to happen. So instead of this happening, there was this truck attack in Stockholm instead. And so
So that was like plan B.
that is my interpretation that suddenly the spotlight was on Copenhagen. They had to redirect and then they had option one. Normally, there are like several options built into these operations should anything go wrong. So plan B, boom, hit Stockholm instead.
Wait a minute. How could this work with their law of karma? So they tell us it's going to happen in Copenhagen, and rather than not reacting, we do react, which totally stopped them if they really had the law of karma. But instead, they just go to Stockholm. I think they're violating the law of karma. They're going to have some really
I
bad
hope so.
karma.
I really hope so.
I mean, obviously, they're going to have some really bad karma. But I mean, even under their own warped and twisted belief system, it seems like what they're doing doesn't
No, that
really
is the
fit.
whole idea to mess it up for them. So, on at the exact same time as the London terror attack took place, there were major drills in both Denmark and Sweden. And in Sweden, 2 days before the 7th of April, there were ongoing drills between the Swedish police, the Swedish secret police, and the Swedish military with crisis actors from an English company, and I would strongly suggest that I'm going to present them a bit later, called Crisis Solutions. Very, very, very dangerous company, I would say, that are part of setting up these so-called security drills. And
isn't that a great name, Crisis Solutions? It's like us right up front that the best solution to the problems these elites face is a manufactured crisis.
But also, Kevin, it's one step further, because they put it right in our face, and in their own logo and the marketing, it says Crisis Solutions. The clue is in the name. So when you look at the name, name, Crisis Solutions, what clue is there? ISIS. You know?
Oh, there you go. That's certainly the ISIS crisis is certainly a solution to some of the problems of the Zionists, the imperialists, and the general bankster elite.
It sure is. And so I believe that by exposing companies like crisis-solution.com, there's a series of other companies as well, but this one is by far the most dangerous one I've seen. And they've come up with on their website, they have this promotion video with very nice music, you know, very elaborate, the whole graphic stuff and so on. But what they're presenting is very, very, very worrisome, because what they're saying is that now we can give you this for your protection. You know, like, come and join us in this game of drills and war games and so on. And what it is that they say, that they have what they call the crisis cloud, where the only thing people that are part of this operation need is internet access. They can sit anywhere in the world just with internet access, a laptop, and be part of directing this whole thing. So in this,
or obstructing it, which is what you're doing.
Yeah, but I don't think I would be very welcome into their networks. But that would be excellent.
Rather than paying you to participate as a crisis actor, they might actually someday decide to try to offer to pay you to not do what you're doing.
The thing is, money doesn't really work on me, so I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I have that. In this video, what they're saying is that the days when things were done on paper and a chalkboard, blah, 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 directing these things, these days are over. Now we're into a totally new era of high technology and so on. So they say, let's imagine that we are in this situation where we're setting this up. And then they show how they're like different units, tactical units with police, military, ambulances, fire brigade, all of these things. That is the tactical team. Then you have the CEO division, where you got members from government and different companies and whatever, advisors in one. Then they got another one that is taking care of automatic news feeds. I mean, who are these news feeds for? I would suggest us. Also Twitter campaigns, Facebook campaigns in the hundreds that are just being bombarded out there simultaneously. But to coordinate the whole thing, they have this crisis cloud, which is one sort of central organization of the whole thing that can redirect should anything interfere or change and so on. And what they're also saying is that they are more than willing and capable of arranging simultaneous drills in multiple places, including different continents. So in this video, they have, for instance, they put up Manchester, Edinburgh, and New York as just, a suggestion. Let's play. And this is, I would suggest, exactly what it is we're looking at being played out in front of our eyes. This is the heart and brain of this global tour of terror that I've been trying to identify and followed for years, suggesting that what we are actually looking upon globally is not a massive amount of Muslim terrorists constantly thinking about how to blow us up, but a small little unit, like a rock group that is on tour, but instead of playing music, they are delivering fear and terror. And so it's a small little setup that is being transported in, I believe, in military planes to army bases, American army bases or NATO air bases, and then transported from location or from these airstrips with buses on location where there is a drill. The drill is there to so that they can close off the street, they can get vehicles in position, explosives, smoke bombs, crisis actors, all of this set up a headquarter, which is most often in public libraries or other public locales where there's big open spaces where they can have makeup facilities, catering, bathrooms, dressing rooms, all of these type of things, very close to this whole thing. And then the drill.
If this sounds a little extreme to some listeners, I urge them to go back and read John le Carré's famous novel, The Little Drummer Girl, because the scenario you're describing here, Ole, is actually just a kind of a natural progression, just a very small step forward from what we see portrayed in that so-called novel, which actually was based on actual stories told to John le Carré by a very high-level Mossad operative. And it described how the Mossad, Israeli intelligence service, hires actors or manages to get actors working for it one way or another and creates these kinds of false realities in order to pursue their all-out war against them. And as they do this, the Israeli Mossad co-opts, corrupts, and essentially takes over the NATO intelligence services. So take, you know, that book, The Little Drummer Girl, and fast forward a couple of decades and precisely what's happening today.
Well, I did not know that. I'm going to read that book, that's for sure. But I'm just saying this is what we're seeing. And this is also, I think, since I've been able to predict at least four of them, I mean, it seems like I'm onto something here. I would say either I've got a crystal ball or I'm psychic or whatever. But I'm not. I'm just looking on a street level into the evidence and clues that they leave there right in front of our eyes. So... But you have to give it to them. I mean, they're getting very bold now to pull one off in the center of London on one of these major bridges right outside the parliament. That is pretty bold in day pure, daylight. And also broad daylight.
Broad daylight under the tourist cameras.
Sorry?
Right in front of the cameras of tourists, and within the CCTV
cameras went down, and all the footage are by government-controlled photographers. All the footage that you see are by very specific individuals. All the still photos are by two photographers, both of them connected directly to the highest level of British government and so on.
So this is actually a clue that when we look for pictures of this event, we don't find the normal tourists posting stuff online. It's all traced back to people
that
part of the operation.
That is exactly it. Why don't we see hundreds of videos from normal people on buses, in cars? There were like multiple buses on the bridge when this happened. There should have been hundreds of people there with cell phones. Normally they take photos of their hamburger and put on Facebook. Wouldn't they film when something like this happened? But what we instead see is very limited, every single time, very limited number of videos. And every time the Patsy is involved, super blurry. You will never be able to catch any great detail around that. The CCTV footage goes down every single time. All the mobile cell phone network goes down. The police communication system goes down when these things happen. Sometimes the ATM machines go down. So the whole thing gets blocked until the official story is out there. And then, boom, they lift it. But while it's all going...
It's crazy because the quality of amateur photography and videography has gotten so high in recent years that the idea that there would be no good sharp pictures showing, you know, perpetrators or patsies or what have you is pretty ludicrous. The idea would be no really detailed and clear videos of this kind of material. It's bizarre and absurd. But we see intentionally making sure that the video is low quality. In many cases, like with Charlie Hebdo, they actually degraded the quality of one of their videos that had said that video. I forget where its original source was. But the version that was put out in the media was intentionally degraded. It's over and over that the quality of a lot of the material covering these events is much worse than one would expect given today's
You have
technology.
to manipulate it to get it that bad. I mean, you can't film it that bad with today's technology. I mean, even cheap cell phones have high HD quality cameras, most of them. You cannot make it that bad without really doing it on purpose. And then, and people say, yeah, but I've seen footage because somebody was filming it. Yeah, but what are they filming? What exactly are they filming? It's the same every single time. Somebody's walking down the pavement. There are victims lying around. But do they stop and film? Can you actually see anything clearly? No. And the camera is most of the time pointed downwards. And so what you see is the back of people walking, the feet of people walking, and then there's somebody lying there. But they never stop and actually give you the chance to see what's going on there. And in England, it was, I mean, it was just bizarre. Did we cover the London thing the last time I was on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, last time we talked about the London thing and then the run-up to what you thought to happen in Copenhagen.
So here in Sweden, there was this whole thing where it said that an Uzbeki guy, a refugee who was refused asylum, got pissed off and hijacked a beer truck. Here we have this beer thing, beer theme again.
It was
A radical Muslim hijacks a beer truck. What a scenario. I mean, that's like, you know, the 9/11 hijackers all, you know, leaving alcohol soaked Qurans in the bar the night before they supposedly martyred
themselves.
I never
thought of that one, but that's pretty cool. Anyway, he hijacked a beer truck, and then he got on a street that is called the Queen Street, Drottninggatan, which is a pedestrian street in central London, and then he drove down and officially hit 15 people and killed five more. First there were four victims, dead victims, and then that went up to five. And then after that he crashed straight into an upmarket mall called Orleans shopping mall. So the truck, you just see there are no footage of the truck moving, there's no footage of the truck doing anything. Even though if you walk down a street in Stockholm, you hardly see anyone without the cell phone. I mean, they're like robots with their cell phones, everybody looking down, fiddling around with their gadget. But
it's amazing they don't get run down by trucks every day.
I mean, this is a major problem. I mean, there many people get run over on pedestrian crossings and so on, zebra crossings, because they're not looking up. But here, we're told that this truck just went and drove more than 500 yards down the street that it was said to be packed with people, just knocking them over one by one. And not one single person has looked up, filmed it, or done anything. There is footage, but it's way far away and then blurry. And also, exact that block where where it said that the truck hit this mall, it appears like there's some kind of a smoke bomb gone off. So there's smoke that makes it impossible to see the last thing. Then also you see on more or less all of these operations, when they're in major cities, they use local transport or public transport things like trams or buses to block off the streets around this whole area, because then it just looks like a traffic jam and people sitting behind in a car are just getting irritated. Oh my God, rush hour and so on. No, no, no. Here, when you look at how these buses are positioned to just clear the whole area, just to give a few minutes to carry the exact operation out, boom. And here, once again, we see the exact same buses being placed out in very strategic positions. Then there were four different helicopters that was over the area for an hour before it happened, which has been denied by the police, even though many, many people saw these helicopters. And also the time 14:53 that was being pumped out saying that terror happened at 14:53 in Sweden, 14:53, 14:53. And I was just like, what is that? Some kind of a mantra that is going out there? But then if you know anything about history, 14:53 is the year where there was a massive big clash between the Muslim and the Christian world. So
Wasn't that the year that the Ottomans took Constantinople?
So
yeah. So yeah, that was, it's an
exactly.
iconic
and
number.
This is I would very strongly suggest part of the psyop. They always play us at the same time with all on all different kinds of level. And then you have this truck that is standing there with the front of the truck straight into the shop itself. But the side of it has like a massive big sign of a frosty beer saying cold beer, you know, climate smart. And it's on a Friday afternoon when everybody's longing for the week to end and let's go home and get a cold beer. So I would suggest possibly product placement.
Unbelievable. I mean, this is, you know, so you have the Muslim hijacking the beer truck, which sounds kind of like a bad joke. And it's in the context of, you know, this nice beer truck that's, you know, climate appropriate, bringing you your ice cold beer on Friday before you, you know, come home from work and relax for the weekend. And those Muslims are hijacking your beer truck and not only denying you your beer, but they're also bringing you down.
Well, yeah,
you better hate those Muslims.
And anyway, so there's this truck that has gone into the shopping window, and it's just standing there. You don't see anything movement or anything. There's no footage at all of the truck moving. Then it's standing there, and then the fire brigade comes. There's no fire, even though when the police arrive, they run around with gas masks on, and they're several hundred yards from the truck, and they have these gas masks on for a long time. I would very strongly suggest part of the PSYOP, because a lot of these latest attacks or alleged attacks has been to conform or get the population of Western Europe more and more willing to support the bombings of Syria. So you have this.
Ah, okay. So the photos of gas masks are, of course, a subtle or maybe not so subtle reference to the fake
exactly.
Chemical
that
attack.
Is it. Because these things are happening at the exact same time and so on. And with the meetings, the drills, everything set up, chemical attacks planned in Denmark and so on. It is because of this thing in Syria. They want the NATO support to bomb the crap out of this poor country. So
these people are basically hard militarists and Zionists. They're the side of the imperial power structure that wants to be much more aggressive, especially against the enemies of Israel.
It's the New World Order. It's the New World Order. They want to destroy everything and then build their own out of the ruins. But that is where all these very dark forces are, where you've got the whole thing about Israel, Mossad, CIA, MI6, all of them in a mix with NATO and so on, as a brutal death tool in the whole thing to carry this operation out.
Do you think they're trying to destroy the past in order to create a glorious future, which would end up a one-world government? And the speculation among many eschatologists, Sheikh Imran Hossein, is that it looks like it's up to a plan to put the so-called Messiah, who would of course be Messiah because Jesus is the Messiah, that they would put on the throne in Jerusalem.
It is part of the New World Order. Read their books. Read people from the so-called elite. Read their books. This is part of the agenda. They're very open with it. You know, a one-world army, a one-world religion, a one-world fascist state, a one-world digital currency, a one-world population where two-thirds of us are not here anymore. And so it's very, very out in the open.
But it seems that there's a struggle between factions. You know, we can see this, for example, right now with Trump getting into all sorts of hot water this week, just as the Trump administration has supposedly betrayed the Israeli hardliners, Shelton, Adelson, Bibi Netanyahu, those guys who wanted Trump to carry through his promise to move the U.S. embassy to occupy Jerusalem and thereby ignite the next stage of the Holy War. Trump is getting advice from the more liberal faction that says, well, no, it isn't time for that yet, or whatever they're saying. And so now the hardline Israeli faction is angry with Trump and his people. And coincidentally, that just happens to be the moment that we get special prosecutors appointed to investigate the misdeeds of Trump, and everybody's talking about a new Watergate. So I think there is a relationship here between these kinds of events and this plan to go forward with their one world government centered in, you know, a rebuilt temple after they destroy the Islamic world's oldest and greatest architectural monument, the Masjid al-Aqsa, and rebuild this temple and start slaughtering pink heifers or what have you. and then put a world dictator on the throne based in that new temple. I mean, this is seems to be the game plan of a certain wing of what do we call them? Heretical, perverted, people out of the Jewish tradition, but they're out of the Jewish tradition because the real authentic Jewish tradition says you have to wait till God sends a Messiah to create peace on earth before any Jews go back to the Holy Land. So everybody who says Jews should go to the Holy Land now in Israel, created out of genocide, is working for the Antichrist. And the plan of these Freemasons, who were basically Freemasonry was created by these heretical Kabbalist, satanic ex-Jews, it's manipulating the top levels of power to try to further this plan. So that's my interpretation of the big game plan, and it's not just mine, it's a lot of people's. Have you looked at it from that prism?
I have, but I've decided early on to I needed to focus on one area and specialize in that so that I could make a difference. And I'm more on a street level, then I leave it to people like you to get a to deliver a better understanding of the bigger picture. But it sure sounds I mean, the things that you said make perfect sense to me.
Yeah, there seems to be some kind of Freemasonic
Oh,
element involved in these
big
things.
time, big time. Then
Yeah.
also
Okay, getting back to Stockholm.
Then
Okay.
also one thing, there was three drills before this happened. There were the military police and the secret police were having 2 days with a very similar theme to what actually happened. Then the hospitals had one drill where the theme was the exact same store, upmarket store. They keep calling it upmarket, which I would call maybe possible product placement again, because it's like upmarket mall, upmarket mall, upmarket mall. But anyway, that there was a bomb inside this mall, and then boom, the very next day, the exact thing happened. That hospital was also told there would be 15 casualties coming, and they were told before it actually happened. But there was also almost what you could call a third drill for media. International media, because there were members from more or less all of these countries that have been allegedly attacked by terror were in Stockholm, just a stone throw away, talking about how media should act at certain terror events. And I mean, Sweden have had none, more or less. So, but there were people from Germany, Holland, Belgium, UK, Sweden, and other countries there. And then while they were there in this so-called conference that I haven't been able to find publicly, this happened, and then they went straight out in this to the street and started reporting more or less about this whole thing. So that's quite a coincidence that these drills were exactly there with the exact same theme. That's pretty handy. But also what I found is that when it comes to eyewitnesses to these events, is like the eyewitnesses are more or less 95% connected to either media, film or theater or government. That's it. And in Sweden, I started checking out all of these people that have been interviewed on TV, on radio, and newspapers, and so on. And I wish I could show it to you, but I've got a little PowerPoint. But I'll just every time I say a new one, I click up a new image. But I'll tell you, this guy, media; this girl, Belgium media; this man, media; Swedish media, Swedish radio, radio theater, Swedish media, Swedish government, Danish actress, a Swedish guy whose brother is in the government and was promoted the day before the attack, Dutch media, he has a guy who's married to a radio director, here is a journalist, here is a Dutch journalist, here is a Swedish journalist, here is a guy that is working for Swedish radio and has military background. Here is a Dutch actress. Here is a Swedish guy that is an actor. Here is a Swedish guy connected to TT, which is media. Another girl, media. And a guy that is working as a journalist for many years. And then we have a woman that is said to have been hit by the truck. She's 83 years old. She's a beggar from Romania. But she has also been part of a big opera theater group that is had a premiere not long ago, where she was part of the acting background, the extras on stage. So, I mean,
Is she a beggar from Romania, or is she an actress who plays a beggar from Romania?
Yes. I don't know. Her name means in Romanian doll. So I don't know. It's like she's being interviewed by media when she's in the hospital. You know, they say that there was this massive big concrete lion that weighs about 900 kilos that landed on her foot and broke it in two places. But then when you see media is interviewing her, on the bed it says there's a sign saying unknown woman, even though she's referred to with name and everything there. And I tell you, I didn't know. Did you notice how many were connected to media here?
And this is the same point that professor or ex-professor now, James Tracy, who's fighting to get his job back at Florida Atlantic University after he was fired for investigating the Sandy Hook incident, among other things, he points out in his essay that's published in the second book of my False Flag trilogy, which is entitled Another French False Flag. In this essay, James Tracy points out that the people involved in this November 2015 Paris series of events, all of these witnesses and photographers and everybody who's interviewed, they're all part of the media. It's the same type of list that you just described.
And all of the people interviewed on live TV while 9/11 was going down were somehow connected to one of the five main news or TV channels.
Well, a couple of them, like Harley Guy, you know, the guy who gave us the official story of 9/11 seated on a Harley, turned out, I believe, to be an actor. There's a whole discussion of his actual identity, but he was really the worst crisis actor of all time. You know, anybody who sees him feeding us the official story of 9/11 just minutes after it happened, with kind of a, you know, very relaxed kind of smirk on his face as he mechanically intones his lines. I mean, this is, you know, that this is a perfect kind of advertisement to help people get over the, you know, that initial skepticism. You know, everything that we're saying here sounds so goofy. You know, how could they keep these secrets? You know, how could there really be actors and actresses who do this sort of thing? Well, take a look at Harley Guy and tell me you think that's an actual eyewitness.
I've also spoken to Chip Tatum, the CIA whistleblower who took part of false flags in his career. And because this is a question I get all the time, why come there are no whistleblowers? Why come there's no crisis actor stepping forward saying, I was part of this, I was part of that? And he says, it's very, very simple, because for one thing, they have to sign confidentiality agreements. I think that is what it's called in English, where if they break it, if they break the contract, they can get sued from here to the moon. Then also they use people with quite low IQ that are just easily paid off. I mean, they have unlimited access to money, these operations. So money is a very easy way to keep people quiet and happy. Also, you will see all of these GoFundMe campaigns started right away, sometimes often even before the thing has gone down, like hours before it actually happens. These campaigns are up and running, collecting thousands and thousands. I think the alleged police officer that was killed, that is said to have been killed at the attack in London, within a few days, they had collected £700,000 to his family. That's almost £1 million. And at the same time, also, there were all of these kind of weird things pointing towards what is called the Red Nose campaign, I think, which is like a comedy relief thing, gathering a lot of money as well. And they, due to the attack, collected a record high amount of more than £17 million just the day after, and so on. You know,
so it's kind of self-funding.
It's self-funding, and also these people are being paid off. But it's like, My theory that is I'm being able to prove more and more is that this is a small little unit traveling around just repeating the same theme again and again, meaning that the people you see running around in SWAT team uniform in San Bernardino might very well be the same people running around in SWAT team uniforms in Paris and in England or in the UK or in Denmark or in Melbourne and so on. Same with the crisis actors running around, lying in the streets, some of them dummies, some of them real people, and so on.
So the three large white paramilitaries that multiple eyewitnesses saw doing the actual shooting in San Bernardino, contradicting the official story that it was a Muslim couple featuring a very small 100-pound Muslim woman, those three same white paramilitaries in San Bernardino that did that shooting could be the same people, the same large white paramilitaries that witnesses saw doing the shooting at the Belle Equipe nightclub in November 2015 in Paris. Again, contradicting the official story.
Yeah, and the Bataclan shooting as well. Do you know, this is the description of the shooters. It fits perfectly. And the only thing that differs is that they can get on a plane and fly to the next location. You know, and this is also why when you see people actually shooting at these type of alleged things, very often the description are military-looking people in dark military-looking clothes. And I would suggest that the reason for that is that when they shoot and then they hide, then the SWAT team moves in. Maybe there's 15 people in the SWAT team moving in, 18 people moving out. Because the only thing that the so-called terrorists need to do is put on a balaclava, and then they move out with the same unit. Nobody notices it's 15 in, 18 out.
That makes good sense to me. And again, that question of why you wouldn't have crisis actors going public and spilling their stories. I think if you again extrapolate from what we see in that Le Carré novel, The Little Drummer Girl, it's obvious in that case that, for example, if the title character, a very talented but somewhat down on her luck British actress who's recruited by the Mossad under false pretenses and manipulated and led into creating these fake terror scenarios to push their various stories. Had she in the novel tried to go public, it obviously wouldn't have worked for numerous reasons. The Israelis in that novel had penetrated the police and security apparatus in the European countries to an extent that imagining a whistleblower trying to tell this story, which sounds so improbable, the only possible ending would be bad things happening to the whistleblower. And given what we now know about their degree of control of the mainstream media, you know, imagining some whistleblower coming to the mainstream media and telling them, hey, I was part of this fake terror operation, what's going to happen to that whistleblower? The odds of anything good happening, the odds of actually getting the story out would be extremely small. So they wouldn't have to have really low IQs to not be blowing the whistle. Maybe low moral and ethical IQs, but not low intelligence quotients.
True. What Chip said also is like, it's very easy. If somebody, even though they're well paid and they have signed all of these papers, if they still consider becoming a whistleblower, the only thing you do is you gather the group and then you torture one of them in front of the others, or you kill one of their grandmothers in front of the group or one of the people in the group, and after that, or beat them up or whatever, after that they're under control. So he's
a typical organized crime tactics.
It's very easy, very, very easy. It's absolute, just they use absolute terror to control them as well. And often when you see these operations carried out, look on the outskirts of what is actually happening. You will see more or less all the time some kind of military type of people that are walking around. Often they're a little overweight former military guys with military haircuts and so on, crew cuts, but in a trainer outfit, jumping suit or something like that, just walking around. But normal people are staring towards if somebody has been hurt or if something has exploded, they look that way. But these people are just walking around, fiddling around with their cell phone, looking like they're just there. But what they're actually doing is controlling the area so that no one from the public can get close to the actors, and the actors can't get away or can't get out. So they're called bouncers. So you will see them more or less always. I'm always looking out for them. And sometimes you can see they've got earpieces and so on. So,
and you can see that one way they would clear the area in these situations that would work would be to sort of play with the time sequence a little bit. And, you know, boom, suddenly there's an alarm. Oh, a terrorist attack has happened. You know, everybody, you know, seek cover, shelter in place, get out of this zone. And so now these ex-military guys can kind of clear the zone. And then they quickly do the filming and stuff. And now there's nobody with a cell phone camera there to film it.
Yeah, and I would suggest very often the filming is actually done the day before. Or when the drill took place. For instance, now we have, there's one woman that is said to have been hurt by this truck, and there's this group of police officers and civilians that are carrying her, you know, and there's all these dramatic photos of them carrying her down the street. But once you start identifying, and since I know Stockholm, central Stockholm very well, it's very easy to see that, my God, they're not there. They're in a totally different area, and what you actually see is that first they gather around this woman, if it's a woman or a dummy, hard to tell, and then they start carrying her away from the truck. She's found way far away from the truck, like a few hundred yards, and then they start carrying her not towards the ambulances, not towards a hospital, but on a parallel street in the wrong direction, and they carry her for like maybe 200-300 yards, and while being there's being lots of photos taken that is being spread out in the media saying, oh my God, look at the drama. Also her foot is totally ripped off more or less, but no blood. And then there's one guy who is a former military guy that just happens to film them from the office, from an office from above, so you see it from above. But when they pass under, there's sort of like a, I don't know what you call it, like a viaduct. And on top of that, there's a clock, and that clock shows 10:23. But the official story is that this happened 14:53, and then 20, 30 minutes afterwards when people were running around. But
that's quite a major inconsistency. Well, how about this issue raised by a listener who emailed me with pictures of a guy dressed as a police officer, supposedly involved in the Stockholm attack. There's a photo of him speaking to the prime minister, and the same guy is, it looks like, and it certainly looks like, is photographed in the aftermath of the Brussels attack from, what, last year? So is this guy a crisis actor?
No, this is exactly what I'm pointing out. I know this guy. No, I don't know him personally, but I know people that know him as a police officer. But when you look how the Gladio Network and Stay Behind NATO units are working, especially also using people from Sweden, even though Sweden hasn't really been part of NATO before, these are the people that are used to secret ops and so on. So here you have this guy who is a real police officer, but I believe he's also military and connected to the Stay Behind Gladio Network, being used in these operations. Because then you are all also under order, you're disciplined, you just follow what you're being told. And in Brussels, there's this identical guy almost that is in a flight attendant uniform, walking away from the site. But there is also in Brussels, we have all of these people that appear in more than one place. You got Mason Wells, one of the victims that had been to three different of these terror events the last few years. I mean, bad luck. But there's also another woman in the Stockholm attack who filmed people running away in terror, as they say. She just happened to be in one of these office buildings nearby, and she's filming from above, and you can her video has been spread everywhere. But that woman looks a lot like one of there's one woman I would strongly suggest is a crisis actress inside the Brussels airport, where she's sitting next to a woman that an Indian air stewardess that has blood and dust and all of these things, and she's sitting on that bench. So I believe that we're seeing the same actors, just like I'm trying to prove here, being transported around, and they're very careful not to use people from the same country, the same area most of the time, because they would be recognized. So they use people from abroad in these operations. This is also what Chip has informed me about.
Interesting. And the same listener emailed me about the helicopter that appeared to be hovering over the site of the attack about 1 hour earlier in regarding the Stockholm attack. Is that true? There was a mysterious helicopter that was
No,
there
there was
early?
four helicopters, and pe yeah,
Four
and people
helicopters,
saw
okay.
them, and it was in the newspapers. And then the police totally denied it and demanded from the newspapers to take down the online versions. But I have screen dumps of these articles. There was
Amazing.
also shooting in multiple places around it, in four different, at least four different locations around this whole thing, creating chaos and getting people to run away from the whole thing. And all of that has been denied as well, even though hundreds of people have heard them. And there
Did it, and people got pictures of these helicopters?
no pictures, no pictures.
No
But
pictures. Too bad. Yeah, it can be tough to get a helicopter picture. I've been buzzed by helicopters once or twice, and I never managed to get a picture. But of course, I don't carry a cell phone, so that makes it harder.
it's like, that is one thing that I mean, what can you prove with a helicopter? It's very hard to, when then you should have the specific buildings and the time, exact time. But I mean, when they were hovering, nobody was expecting anything bad. It was just afterwards they said, "I saw these helicopters." There's also
Yeah. Why? So why would you film it?
witnesses that have
Yeah.
seen people in camouflage uniform, military uniforms. They are 3 days before this happened, speaking American, some of them Latin looking. This is the description. But identical uniforms in the specific and exact area of where the attack then happened. But also, I tell you, there's more, a lot more to this, because this happened in exactly the same police district as where the assassination of Olof Palme was carried out, where the killing of Foreign Minister Anna Lindh, that she died on 9/11 2003, just by coincidence, nice date.
Right.
And also where the only alleged suicide bomber in Sweden killed himself, they say. Absolute hoax, hoax, hoax. That is in the exact same police district, just like all of the attacks, Bataclan, Charlie Hebdo, all of them happen in Police District 11. Here it's a very specific police district called Norrmalms Police District in Stockholm. So you can, it is in the same controlled space, sort of, where these things are being carried out. They even use the same
Interesting.
shops, the same buildings as headquarters. And here we have one ambulance driver that is being interviewed on TV and so on. He was actually the ambulance driver that is officially drove the body of the Swedish Prime Minister in 1986 to the hospital after the shooting. But there's so many things that doesn't match up there. Super complex case, that one.
And to what extent could this be a punishment for Sweden's foreign minister, Margot Wallström, being a kind of anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian voice? We've seen in other cases similar things like this happen. France was punished with Charlie Hebdo and then the later November attacks for recognizing Palestine as a state. Bibi Netanyahu threatened France. He said France will be hit with terror attacks if it recognizes Palestine. It voted to recognize Palestine, and boom, it was hit with terror attacks. And previously, we've seen similar instances with the Breivik shooting in Norway. The Norwegian left-wing Labour Party was a huge supporter of Palestine, and the whole next generation of Labour Party leaders, all those kids, were murdered in what appears to be basically an Israeli-led false flag operation. So, to what extent do you think that this hypothesis that Sweden's government is too pro-Palestine, and so this is being staged there as a kind of a slap in the face. Could that be true?
It could very well be true. At the same time, I don't trust politicians at all. So I don't know, do they really support, or is that just like a theater for the masses? So I have no idea, but it fits in totally to into the pattern.
Okay, well, there certainly are plenty of patterns to look at in these cases. That's why I published that False Flag trilogy, and you're a star contributor to that, Ole Domegaard. I think we've about hit the end of the hour, so go ahead and give us your final thoughts and your website.
My website is lightonconspiracies.com, lightonconspiracies.com. I'm a one-man band, not paid by anyone, so any type of financial support by signing up for my newsletter, my membership area, or my books on I've got multiple books on Amazon, just search for my name, Ole Damegard, or donations are hugely appreciated. What I would like to say is that we have to be aware of now that they are capable of multiple simultaneous attacks. That so when if something like that should happen, and I've seen now instead of these clues being for one upcoming event, the last few of these terror attacks, there's been like multiple clues for multiple different attacks. So if something should happen where there are like three different things happening at the same time, please be aware of that this might very well be what we're looking at. And companies like crisis-solutions.com should just be put up against the wall and totally questioned for possible involvement. They were also part of the drill in London 3 days before this thing went down. So it, they are also, the headquarters is in Wiltshire in the UK, exactly the same area where there were a series of NATO meetings with different people from Gladio and government different intelligence agencies planning the assassination of Ola Palme in 1985. So we, and also like they say, the clue is in the name, ISIS, Crisis Solutions, ISIS. And ISIS, according to many researchers, and I believe that myself, stands for Israeli Secret Intelligence Services. That is the meaning of ISIS. So it's very important to see that when these things happen, do not feel hate or anger towards your neighbor that comes from a Muslim country or an Arab country. Inform yourself and understand what is actually going on, that what we're looking at is state-sponsored terrorism. They're based on problem-reaction-solution, forcing you into the New World Order, into bending down your head down in the mud, and then they will carry out their very brutal push of the world into a very dark future if we let them get away with it. So wakey-wakey time, big, big one.
Okay, well, they don't have our permission. We're saying no to them. If they are forewarning us, we are not letting it happen. We are not going along with them. And make sure that you let other people know this as well. We can still stop this. Well, thank you so much, Ole Domegaard. I appreciate your amazing and courageous work. Keep up the good work, brother. God bless you, and look forward to another one down the line.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Anytime.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.